Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We're holding the final line on daf Lamed Vov Omid Beis. And we begin with a braisa, Tana Rabbanan. Ein oifin pas ova be Pesach. Notice that the words biyontif are in parentheses. We'll get back to that later. Ein oifin pas ova be Pesach divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, don't bake pas ova. The word ova means thick. We'll see what that means in a moment. Don't bake thick pas, in our case, matzis on Pesach, says Beis Shammai. Now the question is, the kama pasava, how thick is thick? Omer afuna tefach. Shekimatzina b'lechem aponim tefach. Now notice, this is not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel speaking. This is Rav Huna interpreting the term pasava. As we'll see in a moment, it's not that simple. Anyway, why can you go and bake up to a tefach according to Beis Hillel on Pesach? In other words, very thick matzos. Shekin matzina b'lechem aponim tefach. Because in the Beis Hamikdash we found that the lechem aponim was in fact the thickness of a tefach, and Rashi brings psukim that tell us that it was a tefach tall, and so therefore, and we know that all menachos in the Beis Hamikdash, with the exception of shtei lechem and the ten chalas of the toida, otherwise everything was always matzah. So lechem aponim was also matzah, and nevertheless, it was a tefach tall. Is the chassimin you can have matzah up to a tefach tall? Master of Yosef, Yosef says, 1 second, how can you compare? After all, when you have dough which is that thick, that the matzahs have a thickness of a tefach, tefach is like close to 4 inches. Im omru biz reason, yoimu b'sheinen's reason. After all, in the Mishnah we have all the kahanim is reason, hey, they are so meticulous and scrupulous and careful and quick and schnell and machen to make sure it shouldn't become chametz. However, here you're talking about a person at home or a private baker who's baking. How do you know that they have that same degree of zerizus that you should permit up to a tefach? Moreover, im omru b'pas ha-meila, yeh repash ein ha-meila. In the Beis Hamikdash they had another mala, and that is every time they went and baked a mincha, they made sure to go and work on it with tremendous, tremendous pressure, in the sense that, for those of you that have ever witnessed the baking of a bread or a bachala, etc., you'll notice that the people that are involved in baking, the bread or the chala rises, and then they go and pound it down, only to rise again, and they pound it a few times like that. That causes it to be presumably better and more fluffy and more delicious, etc. In the Beis Hamikdash, when they had a karm mincha, Rashi says they used to go and rub it 300 times, and would pound it 500 times. See Rashi, the last line of the wide lines, the fourth line from the top, pasa mela. Shein mameres lahachmit, shameilosim me'akvasa. The word amela is like amelus in Torah. You're working with it so intensely that doesn't allow it for the chametz. Now, what means intensely? Amela breira, kiritnan. Mesechtes menachah, it says in the Mishnah, kol menachah is te'unin sholosh mea shipa. Shipa is like the shafshif, to go and rub it. So you're constantly working with it and rubbing it and rolling it. The chomish mei is be'itan. As it begins to rise, you go and give it a pound. You pound it down. You do that 500 times. No, that type, it's very difficult for it to become chomitz, because when the pas thinks about becoming chomitz, you give it another zetz to stop becoming chomitz. However, yoimru v'pasha ena meila, when we go and make our own private breads and chalas and matzahs, we don't go and keep on pushing it down to make sure it doesn't rise. Moreover,
is that a guzma, the 300? Because 300 times in 18 minutes, and I mean, it's
18 minutes is only if you're not busy with it. If you're busy with it, you can even be okay there doing it for a few hours. She prays to rub, like the shafshef, to keep on rubbing it. The rubbing could also might be with a rolling pin. In other words, just keep on working with it. Don't gently. If you ever in a shmur matzah bakery, you'll see that they're constantly working with it, even if they're not rolling or if they're not pounding, they are touching and pulling and pushing, etc., to keep it from fermenting and leavening. In the Beis Hamikdash they only had Eitzim Yaveshim. Rashi brings the Gemara from Masechtas Tanis that starting from Chamisha Usa Ba'av they stopped collecting firewood or cutting firewood, because from that day and on the wood would be a little bit more moist. until Chamishos Ba'av, they had the intense heat of the Chama, of the sun, to make it very, very dry. So therefore, throughout the year, they used these Eitzim Yveshim, and that made the furnace to be very, very hot. It was so hot that it quickly caused the matzahs to bake and the lechem upon them to bake. Yom Eitzim Lachem, but we, Stam individuals, many of us will use even moist wood. So it's going to take longer for it to burn, and the furnace is not going to get that hot. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Tana they used was constantly hot, says Rashi, because they were constantly baking in it. They were constantly baking menoches and lach mitoide and all the other things. So therefore it was constantly hot. And that's why when you put in the new wood to start a new fire, it was still hot from before. Here in Betana Tzoyin, you can talk about a regular furnace that we use, an oven, which is cold. In Mom and Betana Shal Matkas, in the Beis HaMikdash, they had made out of metal, which apparently is a greater conductor of heat. Here in Betana Shal Cheres, which is not such a great conductor. So for all of these foregoing reasons, it's difficult to understand how Rav Huna would say that they were matter to make a matzah as thick as a tefach. And therefore, says the Gemara, I got a new pshat. Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba, she'ilas as Rebbe B'yichud. Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba says, I asked my Rebbe B'yichud. Rashi says, tu pshatim B'yichud. B'yichud says, Rashi means either privately, he had a private conversation, or B'yichud means bebirur, I asked for clarity in this halacha. Who was Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba's Rebbe? Umanu Rav. Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba's Rebbe was Rav. There's another version that Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba Omar, he said in the name of Rav, that Rav was She'ilis as Rebbe, that he asked his Rebbe. And who was that Rebbe that he asked B'yichud, either privately or with clarity? Well, Man Rabbeinu Kodesh, that was Rebbe. And he asked him, my Passover, what's pshat in this braisa of Passover? And he said, it's not like we learned until now, a thick matzah, but rather pas merubah, lots of batter, lots of matzah. Meaning that you started off with a huge dough, huge batter, and you made from it many, many matzahs. Maybe 50 pounds of matzahs, maybe 100 pounds of matzahs. That's what we mean by Passover. That's what we really mean Passover, lots of matzahs. Thank you, Mother Mike, currently Passover. So how does it get this name Passover, which is misleading? We're not really referring to the final product. We're referring to the original batter, the dough that was kneaded. Oh, that was nice and thick. After they had this big, thick dough, and then afterwards they cut it into many small pieces and made many, many thin matzahs from it. So the Passover that we're talking about is not thick matzahs, but many matzahs. V'boyeseima nochapshat. Why does it say Passover instead of Passover? The Asri, the high time of the Passover, Passover, Karulei. There was a special dialect in that particular town where that Tana was speaking. And that Tana, whenever they wanted to talk about Passover, they used to use the term Passover, even though we would define that to mean thick bread or thick matzahs. In that town where they lived, in that region, when they meant Pas Meruba, lots and lots of matzahs, he used to go and say Passover. That was their expression. But now the question is, I can understand why Beishamai would prohibit baking Passover thick matzah, because if it's very thick, you might not be careful, and Chas V'Shalom, it might rise, and you might have a problem of chomet. But if you're talking about Pas Meruba, lots of matzahs, what's the problem of baking lots of matzahs? As long as they're all thin, and you're careful, and it's not chomet, what's the issue? So to my time, imishim dekot torach tirchal loy tzarech. Maybe the reason is because unless the person has a family of 100 nefashis, why is he going and baking now 50 pounds or 100 pounds? That's a tirchu yaseira. Even though the Chacham, the Torah allows us to go and bake and cook on Yom Tov, and certainly in the Chol HaMoed, but only what you need, you can't go and bake these huge amounts. Yeah, you can even allow an additional amount for possible Orchim, but there comes a granite, there comes a limit. So the limit is 50 pounds, 100 pounds, whatever that amount is, says Beishamai, that you're not allowed to do because of Tircha Yaseira. If that's the reason for Eitim Mara, so my year of Pesach. So why are we talking about Pesach? Hafel beyond of Nami. Let us go and talk about Sukkis and Shmuas, where you have the exact same dinim that don't go and do Tirch Yaseira, because after all it's Yontiv. So why are we focusing Dafke on Pesach? And for the money, Nachman Ami 100% right. That Tana was learning Hilchas Pesach, so among all the Hilchas Pesach, he threw in, and by the way, on Yom Tov, since Pesach is Yom Tov like all the other Yom Tovim, don't overwork yourself, do what you need for purposes of cooking and baking for your needs, but don't go crazy, don't go a tircha deloy tzarech. And in fact, I have a raya from a brisa that says, Beferish, Beishami Om Enoifim Pas, Ova Be Yom Tov. So the price is identical to the price that we started off with before. But before we said an Elfim Passover be Pesach, here it says Passover be Yontif. Oh, now we understand why it says be Yontif, to go and tell us Lav Davke. This is not a Pesach Dikedin and a Chometz or Matzah Dikedin. It's rather Tirch Yisaredin, which applies generically throughout all the Yom Tovim, and that's the reason why the original be Yontif is there in the parentheses, because apparently whilst they were learning this Gemara, the ultimate pshat in the Gemara is Taka Biyontif, not per Pesach. Pesach is Lav Davka, like we just said now in the Gemara, like we said in this other Brisa. However, for if you're going to put in Biyontif, then we won't understand what the whole Shakla B'tari is. So Biyontif means any Yontif. So he took out the Yontif to show it's Taka with Pesach. Ah, and the Pesach, why is Pesach so special? Einacharam is not so special in this regard. It's just like all the other Yom Tovim, don't do it Tircho Yisrael. Okay, we start off with a brand new Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Zokte Braisa, Yoitzin Bepas Nikiyo, Ubehadro'o, Ubesriken Hamutsuyorim Bepesach. For say the night, you could be Yoitzin with Pas Nikiyo, meaning nice, beautiful white flower, Noki, which is nice and very, very presentable. Ubehadro'o, and you can also go and use, if you will, black flour in the sense that they didn't remove all of the bran and it's all still darker complexion than your pasnikia. You can use both of those. And even today, when you go to the matzah bakeries, they have two types of matzahs. They have vasa meil and razava meil. Vasa meil means pasnikia, it's totally white. Or razava means what we would call today whole wheat that they leave in a lot of the shtiklach, the kernels, the bran, etc. Exactly. I don't want to say impurity because people don't want to eat or to touch impurity. So things that exactly bran. Hey, that's a different brand. Perfect. I'm sorry.
I tasted both. One
that
used the other. I couldn't tell any difference. Mm-hmm.
You're
healthier. Obviously, yeah.
Well, also the question is, can you tell the difference in just looking at it?
Also,
you see. Okay. Anyway, so you have to have a little more experience. And we continue with Srikan Hamatziyorim Bepesach. Srikan Hamatziyorim Bepesach means that you're allowed to go and make a matzah with designs on it. If you have a matzah which has a design, it says on it Tovshin Pei Aleph, or it says L'shem Matzah Mitzvah, or one says Koyin, the next one says Levi, the next one says Yisrael, you're allowed to eat those matzahs. But it's b'dievet. You shouldn't make those type of designs, and the reason is, as the Gemara is going to say in another minute or two, because to make a design, a person has to spend time, right? You have this beautiful matzah, it's ready to go into the oven. No, 1 second, I got to write on it koyin, and I have to write on Levi. So as you're going to go and spend time making the koyin nicely, and it's going to take time, and you're worried that in that interval, it might begin to rise, and therefore you're going to have a problem with chametz. So don't do it. But if it was done, okay, you know, it doesn't, as long as they were careful to do it in 18 minutes and make sure it didn't rise, we're fine. A famous Gemara, Baisis Benunan apparently was a commercial baker, and he asked the Chacham, what's the problem? What's the issue? And they told him, Isha Shoya Aleho or Machmatzosa, because the woman, in other words, the baker who's baking it, Shoya Aleho, waits and doesn't immediately insert it into the oven, but rather spends time making the nice tziyurim, the nice designs, and Machmatzosa, and as a result, it becomes, or at least it potentially can become chametz. So therefore, Baisa said, "Amar lehem, efshiyasen a bitfus v'yikve'en a kivan or kevan." What does that mean? Said Baisa, "I happen to be a commercial baker, so instead of having to work on every matzah individually, I already have these professional molds. You just go put the batter in, you close the mold up, and already you have minted into the matzah whatever the mold is. So, for instance, if you attack a if there came a new craze in Klal Yisrael to have separate matzahs, one called Koyin, one called Levi, one called Yisrael. So go and get such a mold that says Koyin backwards, put the batter in, close it up, bake it, presto, you take it out, and it says on it koyin. So you didn't have to go and spend any time. You don't have the isha shoya oleha. Just put it in and put it into the oven. The yikvena kevan. The yikvena kevan means, and you can make this design easily and with clarity without having to spend a lot of time on it. So Guy Schnell, 1, 2, 3. So I think that that's a good etzah. The Rashi says the word kevan means klaim maher petchifa achas. This design will happen very quickly just with one kvetch. You put it in, you're done. So the Chayre, he's right. Omer Lois the Chum said, although mitzad ikir hadin, you're right, because you don't have to wait to make the design. However, Yoimru, people are going to say, kol asrikin asurin, asrikin baizus v'tarin. They're going to smell a problem over here. They're going to smell a smelly fish, and they're going to say, well, what's going on over here? Everybody else, oh, baizus. Apparently he paid off somebody to go and write for him a nice settle and to give him a nice hashkocha. What's the difference between baizus and the guy across the street? His is strafe and his is kosher. Come on. And Chas V'Shalom, that will bring Lidei Zilzel, Lidei people will be matir and make up for themselves. So therefore, Loi Plug, Srikin is also don't make any designs. But v'diyavad, if you made a design, it's okay. Amr Blazer Bar Tzadik, Pam Achas Nechnasti, Acher Abba Lebeisam Gamliel. The Blazer Tzadik says, one time I followed after my father, Reb Tzadik. We visited the Beis Ram Gamliel, they viewed the fun of and they brought in front of him, in other words, in front of our father, Srikin Hamatziyam Bepesach. Oh, the very thing that we're talking about, which are aser. Amarti Abanai said, Tati, Loikachum Rechacham, Enois and Srikin Hamatziyam Bepesach. How could it be in Beis Ram Gamliel? They're violating what we just said now. You're not allowed to do the Srikin Hamatziyam Bepesach. What's going on? It's Amali. So Reb Tzadik said to his son, to replace Reb Tzadik, Bini, lo yishol kol adam amru, ele shol nachtoimim amru. That din that we just said, now you can't make with the Sarikin Mitzvah of Pesach, that's only really directed towards the bakers, the commercial bakers, not those that go and bake at home. What difference does it make if you bake at home or if you're a professional baker? Says Rashi, because when you happen to be a private individual and you go and make it with a nice design, it doesn't have to be so professional. You do the best you can, and then you put it into the oven. However, if you're a professional baker and you're going to afterwards put it into the window and show everybody, oh, look what a product I make, it's so beautiful, so, then you want to go make it with alapichivkis. In other words, you want to make it 1,000% professionally. So you're going to spend time going, give a kvetch over here and a kvetch over there. For any of you who've ever been to a birthday party, and if you've seen a birthday cake, there's a difference between a birthday cake that was made by the woman of the house and one that you bought professionally. The one that you buy professionally has so much cream on the top and the sides in different colors and different designs and different shapes, and happy birthday, agantzamasa. Mashenka, if you do privately at home, you know, okay, you know, you put a little shmiras here and there and happy birthday, but how much time do you spend on it already? It's never going to go to the level of the commercial baker. So here, that's what he's saying over here. B'ni lo yishol kol adam amru, ele shol nachtoim. By the nachtoim, the bakers, there don't, those commercial bakers, don't go and bake the srikin mitzion bepesach, because I'm afraid, because of your level of perfection, you're going to go and put in lots and lots of efforts, and they're going to become chametz. But in private, it's okay.
This sounds so backwards to me.
I thought you'd say that, and that's why the Gemara is going to give another pshat. Just the opposite. They were not referring to commercial bakers. Why not? Because a commercial baker, he is a rogil and baki. He does this for a living every day of the year. Side during the year when it's not Pesach, and side when it's Pesach, he makes sure that everything is done, and he does it quickly, because after all, he's a professional, he shmears and does it, blah, blah, blah. 1, 2, 3. And some of them, says Rashi, also have the tfusim, have these molds like Baisis ben Zunin. Oh, so Lishlechem, by the Nachtoim, by the commercial bakers, they didn't say those Sarikin. Those Sarikin are fine. Elishul Kolonim, it's the private individual who's the amateur who wants to go and make it so pretty. That's where it takes so much time, like the Gemara said before, the Isha Shoyha Olev Umachmatzasa. And that's where they asked it. And here, in Beis Ram Gamliel, they didn't go and bake it internally. They brought it from the outside, from the professional Nachtoimen, and therefore it's Kushav Yusha. So that's what David Fishman, that's what you were suggesting, that we could say this far as Fakert and Echonami. Those are the two different Ikka the Amris, whether it's the Nachtoimen are quicker or the Shokol Adam is quicker. Amr of Yoisi, Oisin Tzarikin Kemin Rikikin, Vein Oisin Tzarikin Kemin Glus Kois. When you're making the Tzarikin, in other words, making with all your designs, again, the Chachili you're not supposed to, but when you are doing these Mitzuyarin, go and make sure that they are thin, like our matzahs, thin, thin wafers. Vein Oisin Tzarikin Kemin Glus Kois, but don't go and make thick ones and make these pretty designs, because since they're thick and you're making designs in Chas V'Shalom, it's really a gross chashash of chametz, and so therefore don't even think of doing it that way. Okay, so now for a few moments we're going to leave Hilchos Pesach and Hilchos Matzah, and we're going to go over to Hilchos Challah. Challah is not challah like we define it, the challah that you eat every Shabbos. Challah means that every time you bake either a bread or challah, or matzah, etc., that you have to go and give a certain portion to the kohen. Since today, we don't know exactly who the kohanim are, because they don't have necessarily the kedusha v'tahara, so we just go and burn the challah. But the challah is a tithe that you give from a batter that you are baking. So, do all batters require challah, says the braisa? No. Tan rabbanan, hasav gonin. That should sound familiar because it's similar to the term sufganiyot. Mm. Now, what exactly are sufganiyot? So you're thinking the donuts with a hole in it, for sure. But Rashi says the reason why it's called sufgan or sufganiyot is because asuyin kisvoig. Asvoig means a sponge. Just like you have sponge cake, here you have sponge challah, very spongy. And that's why we call the donuts sufganiyot, because they're also very spongy. You can go and easily kvetch them, and they will go down and go up again, etc.
Yes? White bread.
Sorry?
White bread.
White bread? Sufganim is white bread? Rashi says
wonder, it's... Wonder bread.
Sir. Wonder bread. Oh, wonder bread. That's like a wonder. Yeah. If you look at Rashi, sufganim, four lines before the white lines. Asuyin kisvoig. It is made like a sponge. V'had duvshonin. What is duvshonin? Says Rashi, mitugan v'dvash. They are fried in
honey.
Oh, these are nice and sweet.
Like baklava, maybe.
Baklava, okay. The iskaritin. What are iskaritin? Rashi says, swink, it's a piches. Those are made very, very thin, like a wafer. The chalas ha-maseris. Rashi says, maseris is targum shel machbas. Machbas means a pan, that you made this challah, this bread, in a pan. The hamiduma. Duma is, we've had this many times, that there is a mixture of chulin and truma in this batter. And all of the foregoing cases, beturim min achala. So the last case, meduma, is in a class of its own. The reason why you put them in achala, says Rashi, because it says, reishis arisoi seichem, chala terimu seruma. When you're making your arisoi seichem, meaning you mean your isa, you're making your batter, so then you have to go and give away chala, chala terimu seruma. Darsh in the Gemara, only if it didn't have truma until now. But if there was truma within the batter, then you're potter from giving truma. I already gave. It's already truma. So you don't have to give another time. Chal. So that's the dinam meduma. That's why it's potter menachal. The other four, we have to understand why are those potter. Why the sevgon and duvshon is iskrit in the chalas amaseres. And the Gemara is going to explain. First Gemara says, my chalas amaseres. What does that mean? Amr b'shu b'levi is a cholut shabalibat. And we had already cholut yesterday. Cholut means that you poured on it scalding water before you went and baked it. That's one of the cases that is potter min achala. And we'll see later on the Gemara, that's probably very similar to what they call today bagels, which apparently also they first pour in the scalded on the very hot water and then they bake it in the oven. But we'll talk about that on the Amud Beis Mitzvah. So in the meantime, that's a challah maseres, which Rashi said was a challah that you baked within a frying pan with a pan called a machlas. Omer Rish Lakish halolu masa ilfase. Now Rish Lakish is not arguing with Rabbi Shuman Levi, but rather Rish Lakish is going on the first four, putting meduma aside. That's a separate reason. But the first four, the reason why they're all potam in a challah is because you don't bake them in the oven; you bake them in a pan or a pot. Anything that you bake in a pan or a pot, by definition, is not baking, says Rish Lakish. That's cooking. That's frying. That's doing something. But not baking. Baking means in a tanner, in an oven. You're not doing it in an oven. It's in an ilfis. And therefore, says Rish Lakish, that's why you're potter min hachala. The term chalim mit lechem and all that, that all implies an oven and not a pot. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, masa ilfis is chayoven. Even if it's made in a pot, as long as it rises and looks like bread and smells like bread and eats like bread, it's bread. even though it's not minin oven, it's made in a pot. V'halalu, why these four potter that we have in the braisa? Shason b'chama. They were sun-dried, like sun-dried raisins. Here you have sun-dried or sun-baked cake, or in this case, not cake, but bread, or challah, or matzah, that you baked it in the sun. So we have now a big machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. What's the din by a masa ilfis? When you make a bread in a pot as opposed to in an oven, does it have the status of chayiv b'chala or potter min achala? According to Reish Lakish, it's potter. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's chayiv. The Gemara is going to ask a series of kashas. Meisvei hasav gun about the shan vayskritin asoan be ilfis chayovin. Bechama peturin. That's word for word like Rabbi Yochanan just said, right? Rabbi Yochanan said, Mas ilfis chayovin. Valolu, and those that we mentioned, Sefkan, Tavshan, Sreden, the reason why they're potter is because Bechama. Word for word like Rabbi Yochanan. It's a Yiftrib Shemin Lakish, because couldn't reach Lakish, even if you make it be ilfis, you're potter, because he didn't make it in an oven. So it's Yeshuin ish Lakish.
Ilfis
is a pot. Or a pan.
A stovetop.
Exactly. As opposed to baking in the oven, baking on top of the oven, on top of the stove. In the years ago, they used to call them wundertops. My Shviger Le'ashulam, since in those days, you didn't have self-cleaning ovens, so the oven, she of course cleaned it out for Pesach, but she didn't use it the whole Pesach, because she was worried about Chometz. So whenever she wanted to go and bake a cake, the Kuvvet Yontif on Pesach, she put it in a large wundertop that was a special pot that you put over the flame, over the burners, exactly, and it had a cover to it, and it was a very fancy vishmancy and all the rest, and she baked it, and after that came out, whoo, it was a beautiful cake. And
so she converted the burner to an oven.
On top of the stove, in addition to going cooking whatever you cooked, she also made one flame she used occasionally for baking the cakes. But inside a nice big pot. All right, the pot had then a little nice thing sticking out, and so therefore, when you took it out extracted or extricated from the pot, you turned it upside down. It had a nice hole in the middle, and everybody was like, "Oh, wunder!" That's why they called it a wunder top, because
of the Dutch oven.
Sorry,
I think it's called a Dutch oven.
A Dutch oven? Okay,
yeah, no, stove top.
Okay, that's fine with me. Anyway, but you get the idea. Instead of being inside the oven, it was on top of the stove. Machloikas Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish is his chayv b'chala or not, and we have a clear raya to Rabbi Yochanan that even though you did it be ilfis, your chayv shver on Reish Lakish. Omer Ula. Omer Shimon Lakish. Chamay skinin she siach v'lo psaith hidbik. Al hidbik psaith hasiach. Why? Hachinami dibtur. What's the Gemara saying? What the Gemara is saying is that even Reish Lakish himself will distinguish in the Maisa Ilfis. Did you heat up the Ilfis first and then put in the batter? Or did you put the batter in first and then heat it up? For instance, most of the time when we're cooking, for instance, soup or whatever you're cooking on top of the stove, you go and put in the cold water or the cold soup and you're heating it up, and then you put it on the flame, and then of course after a while it heats up. You don't normally go and put in an empty pot on top of the flame and leave it there for 5 to 10 minutes till it really gets red hot. And then you put in the contents. That, in fact, could be quite dangerous. Chas v'shalom, you can make a fire if there's nothing inside the pot. So, in a case where you're using the pot the way you usually use the pot, that you're hidbik, first you put the batter in, and then you put the flame on, and you allowed it to become nice and hot, says Reish Lakish, that's a maisa ilfis, which is pot. However, if you heated up the pot in advance and then you put the batter in, so then it becomes so similar to an oven. By an oven, you also heat it up in advance and then you put the chalas, the matzahs, the dough in to go and bake. Ah, so that's enough gemineh. If you heated it up and afterwards put the batter in, so then it's very similar to an oven, then I agree that you're chayiv. Ah, but when did I say that it's possible? In the case of Hidbik, we'll say Fisir. So, Frank Timor, if that's the case, my Hochen Amid Abtur, and then Staka Potur, Aditoni Seifa, let's go back to the Seifa of the Brisa, which we just finished. The Brisa says that if you do it, be ilfis, you're chayv. And Reish Lakish said that's talking about Hirsiach. However, what happens if you put it into the sun and you baked it in the sun, you're potter. Now, how many people go and bake things in the sun? After all, unless you're blessed to be like our good friend David Reese, most of us are not in Florida all the time. And even in Florida, it doesn't get that hot to be able to go and bake a cake or a bread out. Sorry?
Live in the Sahara.
The Sahara, exactly.
In a lot.
In a lot. So how many people live in a lot in Sahara, and how many people, when they live in a lot in Sahara, go outside with their fresh dough, put it on the pavement, and say, okay, I'm coming back in 10 minutes, and you're going to be a cake or a bread or a challah. I mean, that's a very rare thing. So therefore, living for this midah, let the price itself distinguish in Mais Ilfis itself and say, when do we say that Mais Ilfis is chayyav in Medem and Murugan? You see a flip side, head big. You heat it up, and therefore it's a quasi oven. Just like an oven you heat up first, so he also heat it up first. Ab Hidbik, when you're Paturim, which is my halacha, Rish Lakish. So why did the price digress from an ilfis to a chama, let it distinguish in an ilfis itself. Says he, well, you're right. We have to do a little bit of modest surgery. Hachikamar, or that doesn't say the medvam amur, shir siach lipsoif hidbik. When do I say my ilfis is chayiv dafka, because he heated it up first, just like he heat up an oven. Ab hidbik vayif siach. However, if you put the batter in first and then you heated it up, it's as if you are doing it out in the sun, and then you would be patur. Okay, so let's try to bring another eye. Toshima. Yoitzin b'matzah hina u'b'matzah hasuya b'ilfis. What exactly is a matzah hina? We will see in the Gemara another line or two. It's an underbaked matzah. It was not fully baked. You bite into it, and you say, that's not that normal, hard, brittle matzah that I'm used to. It's almost like a doughy, like a chewy matzah. So, says the Braisa, you can be yoitz with such a matzah hina. Umatzah siba ilfis, also a matzah that was baked in an ilfis. How can you go and use a matzah in ilfis? Didn't Reish Lakish say before that if you bake something in ilfis, it's potter min achala? If it's potter min achala, says Rashi, that means it doesn't have the status of lechem for purpose of giving chala. So presumably it doesn't have the status of lechem for lechem oini for matzah. So he was like, how can you be yoitzah matzah sim ilfis? Serach nishka lechem of lechem oini. What's going on? And for the Maruch Hanami, the same terrace as before, Shesich Lepsoif Hidbik. Even Irish Lakish concede that if you're talking about an ilfis, which you heat it up like an oven, like a tanur, here's Sif Lepsoif Hidbik, has the same status of a tanur, and therefore it is bona fide bread for purposes of giving challah, and it's a bona fide matzah for purposes of matzah's mitzvah. Good. Right, Timar, my matzah hina. What's the definition of matzah hina? We spoke about it. I'm sure. Kol sheporsa vein chutin nimshachim imena. It's taka underbaked. However, were you to go and crack the matzah, you don't see little thin threads of dough stretching. It's taka a soft matzah, chewy matzah. However, when you break it, it's a clean break. You don't have any chutin. If, however, you have chutin nimshachim, then it's really underbaked, and you cannot, that's not called lechem, and you cannot use it.
Is there a problem with chametz if it's so soft and chewy?
We're doing it in Havadi, you have to be careful. That's the reason why those that are makbid on gibrot are makbid on it, because they're afraid maybe there's a little piece of this matzah which was not fully baked, and I'm going to go put it into that, and it might be
Avad.
So we're talking about that the people. Yes, David Fishman. Yes.
The language is yotze.
Yes.
Suggesting that it's referring to matzah of Pesach.
Yes, on a matzah at night, exactly. The first night of Pesach.
My question is, why is this a Mishnah in Menachem and brought in as Brita here? Should be a Mishnah in our Masecha.
Is it a Mishnah or is it a Brisa? In the Sechtes Menachos, they go through the fact that Kol Menachos Bo is Matzah, as opposed to being chometz. So, since you have that introduction of only matzah and not chometz, so then the Gemara in Menachos digresses from the Hilchos Menachos and says, "Oh, we're talking about matzah. Let's talk about matzah." Just like over here, we digress for a couple of minutes to Hilchos Challah. Challah Pesach, chulila, bal yirah, bal yematzah. You shouldn't even be talking about challah in the middle of Masechtas Pesachim. So we had a digression. We talked about challah, and then we come back to matzah, which is, of course, very often what you find in Shas. That reminds me of a famous story that my father's Chachan Avrucha always used to tell. I'm sure I've told it here already before, that as you know, in the good old days, you had people that went from town to town to town to solicit funds, and many of them were magidim. Magidim means that they would get up in the local shul, and they would, and they would go and say a Dvar Torah, and if the speech was good, then people would presumably give generously, and if it was shlach, then people wouldn't give so generously. Anyway, so there was a magid who was not a great Talmud Chacham. However, he had to also have at least one good choice speech. So he had a good Dvar Torah on Parshas Korach. Now that's very good when you come to Parshas Korach. But what do you do the whole year when it's not Parshas Korach? What do you do then? So he would get up to the pulpit and he would hold up his glasses and he would say, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem, my Rabbeinu, it's so good to be back again." And as he's talking, his glasses would fall to the ground. And then he would start looking for it all over, and he says, "Wow, these glasses have fallen into the ground. It's been so hard to find them. It's as if the ground swallowed it up, just like by Korach, v'chol adosai, I can't find these glasses." And then, of course, eventually he found the glasses, and he picked it up, and he says, "No, Rabbi, since we started talking about Korach, let's continue talking about Korach." So you have that in Maseches Menachos too. They were presumably talking about matzah, because all the Menachos have boys matzah. "Oh, we're talking about matzah already. Let's go and talk a little bit about Pesach night, about the matzahs." But anyway, so getting back to our matzahs over here, so we just finished saying that a matzah, you know, you could be yotze. But be careful that you shouldn't have threads which are sticking out. If and when you break it, it has to be a clean break. The same thing applies. Remember, Lachmi Toida, also you have 30 of the Lachmi Toida were all matzah, 10 of them were chametz. So those that were matzah, again, the same thing. Make sure that when you bend it and break it, to know chutim mimshachim. Right, Timura. Why does Rav have to tell us that pshita? Hachal lechem ksiv, hachal lechem ksiv. Both when it comes to Hilchoy's matzah on Pesach, where there's a din of lechem oini. Here too, when you have the lach meitoid, it's like a called lach meitoid. And therefore, if it's lechem, so the same halach applies. So the choyra, I know that that's the din. But the amount of same oil ksiv, the hikari menu echot, mikol korban to the koyin, the halach is of the 40 lach meitoid that you bring, you have to go and give 10%, meaning one out of each one of the four species, you have to go to get, you have to give it to the kahanim of that mishmar. Okay, now the halach is, why does the pasuk use the expression the hikari menu echad mikol karban? Because dash of the word echad means echad shlo yitol pors. It's got to be a sholem and not a broken challah. If you have these 40 challahs and you decide you want to go and take one of the lach mitoida and it's a shtickle broken, a little piece broke off, no, that's not the one you give to the kohen. Give the kohen the sholem and not the pars. Ah, I would have thought that since this happens to be a very soft matzah, kimanda prisa da prisa damya, this will easily break because it doesn't have that strong, hard consistency to it. And so therefore maybe it should be deemed a porous, and therefore it's not kosher for purpose of lachmi. Toyda kamash, well, and that's the chiddush of Rav, and even there, the same halach applies as long as you don't have these threads sticking out when you break it. That's kosher enough for purpose of lachmi toyda. But avada, it's much better to have them very well baked. Again, in the Shmura Matzah bakeries, the packer means the one that puts them into the bags or in the boxes, he feels every matzah, and when he feels that it seems to be soft, it starts bending it a little bit, and then he says, "Not minishgit," and he puts it aside, and they do not use that for Pesach. They're very scrupulous about things like that. Okay, so you want a maizve. I have another brace in my... Yes, what's up to you?
The sorting matzah, I think, they may put it on the side of the oven. They make it on the side of these big ovens. They come out, they look like pizza.
Yeah. The sorting matzahs are thicker than the... The Svarti matzahs are thicker than ours.
They look like they'll be leavened. They look like bread, but they're pita.
Well, hopefully they're doing a good job. But that's meaning the Svarti, they have thicker matzahs than we Ashkenazim have. Sorry?
We have the hard. They have a soft matzah.
Did you ever chew it? Did you ever try it?
I did get it one year.
Uh-huh. And how was it?
I waited online with friends. So we got it. You bought three. You covered by three at a time.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then they bake it outside. They want the garnish just like we do, but the same thing. But they had a special oven, a special bakery opened up just for it. Beautiful. Where I was living.
Very nice. Beautiful. Thank you.
It looks like pita or a laffa.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good. And it's not a laughing matter. This is a very serious issue.
No, not a laughing matter.
Right. And when you were online, you weren't on the computer. You were standing, presumably, outside, right? Online. Anyway, pray tomorrow, Meisve, you'll ask a question now on Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan was one that said that a Meisve Ilfis is Chayv, and a pan or a pot. Talk tomorrow, Meisve, I'll ask you a question. Ha-Me'isa. What means Me'isa? Rashi says Me'isa means Hechlita. We had cholet ready. That means it's scalded. Beishami, point to Beishami says, you're a potter, Beisil machayven. Beisil is machayv. What are we talking about? We're going back again to Hilchos Chala. That if a person baked a bread by scalding it, says Beishami, you're a potter, Beisil says, you're chayv. Hechlita. No, what Hechlita also means to scald. Hechlita, Beisham machayven, Beisil poitrin. Just the opposite. By the Me'isa, which Rashi told us means Echlita, Beisham Yipata, Beisil Mechai. The Echlita, which is certainly Echlita, Beisham Yisil Mechai, Beisil Poitrin. Sigmar is going to ask shortly, the Chayr doesn't make sense. So first of all, what's the difference between Me'isa and Echlita? Ezeo Me'isa, Ezeo Echlita, so Gimor ha-Me'isa kemach she'al gabi, Mugloshin. Mugloshin means burning hot water, the scalding water. Echlita Mugloshin she'al gabi kemach. In other words, the question is, what did you do first? The chicken or the egg? And here the question is, did you have the kemach first and you pour the hot water on it? Or did you have the hot water and you put the kemach into the hot water? So me'is is kemach shel gabi mugloshin. You had the hot water burning hot, it was bubbling, and you put the kemach in. Hechlit is the other way around. Mugloshin shel gabi kemach. You started off with the kemach on in your pot, your pan, and then you poured in the hot water over it. Now that doesn't seem to justify why Beishami would hold in one case pot and the other case chayiv, and Beis Hill in reverse. So Yimor is going to, Amir Hashem, explain that shortly. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, I'm Mishim Aviv. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi. Zev Zev Leptur. Both cases, both the Me'isa and the Echlita, makes no difference. Potur from giving challah, this is not traditional bread. The Amrila, there was another version he said in the name of his father, Zev Zev Lechiv, that both of them are mechuyev. In other words, he didn't distinguish between the two, either according to the first version, both are potter, or according to the second version, both are chayv. The chachamim oimen echad ze v'echad ze ason be'ilfes is potter, v'taner is chayv. After all, we only spoke about the ingredients, the kemach and the hot water, and which order you put in the water first or the kemach first, but we didn't say into what. Zok the Chacham, if you poured it all into an ilfis zeh v'zeh, it's potter. So ma'isa ilfis is potter, like Rish Lakish. B'taner, however, you put it into an oven, then it's chayiv. In both cases, echad zeh v'echad zeh. So now the kasha is already fully baked in this ason be'ilfis, because remember we said in the Amidah that Rabbi Yochanan said that if it's be'ilfis, it's chayiv, it's only b'chama which is potter. So that's already the kasha. But the Gemara is not ready to go and ask the kasha yet. First, we want to clarify this brisa, because Rashi says the brisa on the surface seems to be mishabeshta. There seems to be big problems with inconsistencies between Me'isa and Hechlita. So first we want to clear that up to make sure that the brisa reads normally. And then we're going to get to the kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Because if the brisa is mishabeshta, then Rabbi Yochanan will say, you see that it's mishabeshta. What are you asking a kasha? I mean, the whole brisa is an error. Take it out of the Besmedish, learn it somewhere else, fix it first. Why is it different? Here Beishami says potter, here Beishami says chayiv, and Beisil fakert. The truth of the matter is that Beishami, that potters in both cases. Beisil that is machayiv in both cases. Same machloikis. However, these are really two separate mandiyomim. It's not one Tanakama, it's two Tanakamas. Meaning, not two Tanakamas, a Tanakama and a Tanabasra. In other words, you start off the Bryce again. Hama'isa be'shamay poitrin. Okay, sil machayvin. V'hu hadin, and the same thing applies also to Echlita. The be'shamay poitrin, be'sil machayvin. That's the first time. Now there's a second Tana. Oh no, I respectfully disagree. That Meisa and Echlita Beishami are Machayvin and Beisil are Poitrin. So therefore, these are two separate Mandi Amar. Tabra, you got to go and break it up. Mishonazu, Mishonazu. But there's no longer inconsistency. There's a Machloikas Tanoim. What did Beishami and Beisil hold by both the case of Meisa and the case of Chalita? Fine. So now that we've cleared out the brayis, Tani Mias, but said the Chomayim Melech Zev Yech Zesh or some Beilfis is part. But Tanas Chayiv, you have the Rabbi Yochanan that said if you do a Beilfis, you're Chayiv. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Tanoi. In fact, my halacha about the Masa Ilfis is a Machlokes Tanoi. What's a Machlokes Tanoi? The same with the brayis. Yoch Liyehi Meisa VeChaluta Chayovim VeChalo. I would think that Meisa and Chaluta are Chayiv and Chalo. Tamaloi Malachem. Pushtet lechem, v'ayo ba'acholchem ilechem ha'aretz, tarim usrum al Hashem. How do you do it? Reishas harisaysechem, chala tarim usrum, you have to go and give chala from lechem. It's got to be lechem. Ah, so I would think me'is and chaluta, which are the scalding types of bread, I would think, chay v'chala, no, tamalim alechem, potor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein lechem al ofi betana. Lechem is classic lechem that you bake inside an oven. Don't start telling me mit scaldings, mit pots, mit pans. You go and bake it in an oven. So what is Rabbi Yehuda saying? That if it's me'isr chaluta, it's potter. So for Eitimar, Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, they're just saying the same thing. They're using different terminology. The Tanakama says, I would have think it's chayiv, tamaloy melechem, it's potter. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you know why it's potter? Because they lechem lof and betana. It's got to be baked in an oven. So they're both saying the same thing. So what's the machlokes? Ella masa ilfasik benai. L'choin, we have to say that the machlokes between them is what happens if you made it like a bread, but you made it in an ilfis, not in a tanner. Tanakama says a masa ilfis chayim. That's also chayiv. Why is it also chayiv? Because you made it in an ilfis. Rabbi Yehuda Sober, my Silvis Peturin. And what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Ein lechem ala ofi betanur. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, you see my halach of the Amid Aleph, that a mice ilfis is chayiv. That's like the Tanakama, he also holds it's chayiv. It's only Rabbi Yehuda that insists, no, it's got to be tanur, tanur, tanur. Tanakama says, even my ilfis is also chayiv. Don't you want to lie? The kulial mice ilfis peturin. It could be that both man the yamrim hold that it's potter. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan has no leg to stand on in terms of this brayser. Could be the Tanakama also holds part. V'ha'ochen here's what I'm going to chozva foy betanukam ifli. Ah, you first scalded it in a pot, and then after that you rebaked it or baked it inside an oven, which I believe is the way they make the bagels. But of course, I'm not in this business, in this line of work. But that's how I understand bagels to make it. First, they go and scald it nicely with a hot water or hot shemen or whatever. And then after that, they rebake.
A place on 90th and Amsterdam, you could watch them scald it. They would dip the batter in the hot water and then they would bake it in the oven.
Uh-huh. So you've seen that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a poaching process. Interesting.
Yeah. What puzzles me is that when you take challah, you take it from the dough.
Right.
The dough is prior to whether you put it into an ilfis, a tanur, or a chama. It feels like that challah is taken from dough. Mina'isa.
No.
You certainly don't have to. In fact, in the matzah makers, they take it from the baked matzah after the baked matzah is all finished. Then they go on mafish challah. So you don't have to. I agree with you. If you did it in advance, then you wouldn't have all these shaitas.
Okay.
Hey, we did it after you put into my sefer. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, the Kuliyam Maaseh Ilfis Peturin, V'achar Gan Shechoz V'Yafoy Betana, that after the initial baking process, he did a second stage of baking by putting it into a tana. Come with me. The Matkam, so V'kim Shechoz V'Yafoy Betana, V'achar Kriya, Slachem, Yichai B'chal. V'yidasov V'ein Lechem El Ofi Betana Me'ikora. So when the Yehuda said, Ein lechem ofi betaner, what he meant to say is that from it's the outset has to be betaner. If you first did some other stage called the scalding stage and try to make a bagel dough out of it and then you put a tana, no, then it's not lechem. Lechem is ofi betaner meikar. Kibikar, la betana afir, la lechem doesn't have the same name of lechem. Amar Rava, my time of the beauty. Where does Rabbi Yehuda get that the word lechem implies by definition that it has to be betana? Tchsiv says in the pasuk, for afu eser noshim lach lechem besaner echad. Where is this pasuk? Unfortunately, the pasuk is in the Toichecha, Rachman Letzlan, that it's saying that people will be so poor that everybody's going to go and put together their little nothings and they're going to make a lechem out of it in one tanner, and then it's going to break and fall into pieces, etc., etc. Anyway, so the point is that when the Torah used the term lechem, it says b'saner echad. When he says taner echad over here, means that there was only one process of baking, not a double process. That you first put in scalding water and then you put it into the taner. No. It's got to be taner echad. That the whole baking from beginning to end was meikara in a taner and it ended in a taner. It started in a taner, ended in a taner. Star says lechem.
Meikara
means from the beginning, from the outset. The word ikar really means from the shoresh. Like the roots. So the root of this bread, from the its very, very onset, its very beginnings, were in the tanner, in the oven. Yosef Rabba, Rabbi Yosef Achayid, Rabbi Zeira. Yosef Rabbi Zeira, Kami the Ula. So Rabbi Yosef is sitting in back of Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira is in the front row. Rabbi Zeira is sitting in front of Ula, who apparently was the Rebbe. It's Amalei Rabbi Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi whispered to Rabbi Zeira, who's sitting in the front row, "Boy, minemi Ula, could you please ask Ula the following shaila? Hidbik mi b'fnim v'yirsiach mi b'chutz mahu. What happens if you went and took the batter and you attached it to the inside of the ilfis, and yirsiach mi b'chutz, and you heated it from the outside?" Says Rashi, like we do. In other words, you go and put the contents in the pot, like if you're cooking soup. You go and put in the water and the vegetables or the chicken or whatever you're putting, you put it into the pot. It's all cold. You put it on top of the flame and then you let it cook for the next hour or two or whatever it needs. So Rashi says, Hidbik mi b'fnim halechem b'ilfis. First you put the batter inside. And then they put it on top of the stove, like we do it, you know, like you and me, etc.
Didn't preheat it.
Good. What would be the din in such a case? Is that considered to be lechem, or is not considered to be lechem? Amalei, my emalei. Why should I even ask this question? In other words, Rabbi asked Reb Zeira for a favor. Ask Ula what the halach is. Reb Zeira is paskening basically on his own, saying my emalei. Why should I even bother asking him? See, emalei, if I'm going to ask him, amalei, he's going to say, "I knew myself is what you're telling me. That's what we call a classic myself is, which of course will be dependent on the machleik between Reb Yochanan and Rish Lakish. If you hold like Reb Yochanan, you hold it's chayv. You hold like Rish Lakish, it's bought to me. What's the purpose of asking? Amalei Reb Yosef le Reb Zeira. Okay, you know what? My colleague Rabba asked you and you didn't want to ask. So, boy, minemi ula, do me a favor, you ask the following shavimula. Hidmin bi mefnim, va'avuka kenegdoi mahu. Oh, you put the batter inside. And instead of having the heat element underneath, like we usually do by the stoves, he put the avuka on top. What's the benefit of doing the avuka on top? Avuka means the torch or the big fire.
The heat source.
Why are we doing it on top? Because then there is no mechitza or chatzitza between the heat element, the fuel, and between the thing that you're baking. Right? If you're baking anything inside a pot and you have underneath you have the fire, then you have the pot in between. However, if you have the pot sitting nicely on the stove,
facing the flame directly,
and you have the flame on top of it, and then the flame is hitting it directly, then it's very, very similar to the taner. With the taner also, you have the flames inside the taner, and you have the batter inside the taner, the dough which is baking. So, what's the halacha now? We can make them out. Amalei. So once again, Reb Zeira said, "My Amalei, what's the purpose in asking him? The Amalei, if I'm going to ask him, Amalei is going to tell me Roiv Aniyim Oisim Kein. That's how the Aniyim, in fact, do their baking." What does that mean? Let's see Rashi. Avuk Kinegda, about 8 lines before the end. Avuk Kinegda. Milmala, he puts the fuel, the heating element on top. The Choyma Eish Loi Heit Bi Ilfis, and therefore the heat of that fire goes now inside the Ilfis. Umemar Afiyose, and that speeds up the baking process. Mal, we have a kentaner, is that a taner situation or not? So he told him, Roiv Aniyim Oisim, Kol Mas Ilfis Kein, that's how the Aniyim do it. Sheinlem Eitzim, they are poor and they don't have a lot of firewood. They want to get this done quickly at the least expense. The least expense is instead of having the fire from underneath, they have somebody holding, or they put a contraction where the fire is on top. So instead of taking an hour to bake, it only takes a half an hour to bake. And this way they go and save. So
sounds like a convection oven.
Oh, well, could be. Maybe a Dutch oven. I see all different types of ovens are here. Anyway, Altskim von Oiden. Everything comes from up.
Right.
Anyway, so bottom line is, says Igmara, that's also a form of Maisa Ilfis, and there's nothing to ask. And now we're up to Umar Abasi, Mirchem to be continued tomorrow.
So, the general is the one who went inside the